Welcome to the Survival Prepper Show, where being labeled a crazy prepper is a badge of honor. Learn about disaster preparedness, survival, and get ready for whatever challenges might come your way. This is not your typical prepping podcast, and they won't be silenced by the censors. Here are your hosts, Duff and Dale.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to the show today. Got some crazy kind of stuff to talk about today. Brian had sent me and Lisa this video from Jimmy Dore and this lady talking about the CIA and Jeffrey Epstein and all the different interconnected webs of all the crap going on. And that's why I titled this the Shadow World of Corruption. And just, I mean, all this stuff, it's like a different reality than the one we live on. That, you know, goes on and nobody really gives a second thought to, except for us crazy conspiracy realists. We do, but most people just don't care. And it's just, it's crazy, you know, connecting all these dots and stuff. So I want to talk a little bit about that today. What are you up to today, Brian?
Just working on some prepper class stuff and blowing people up on Twitter now. Twitter's so much fun, dude. Oh my gosh, it's so much fun. I forgot how fun social media could be.
Yeah, it's
great.
Hey, real quick before we get into all this other stuff, has there been any more Twitter drops or anything like that? Twitter files
supposed
or anything?
To be, I think one coming out today. That is supposed to start dealing. They're going to start dealing with COVID and Fauci and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because now what they did was they set the stage with the Trump thing to show how they got to. You can see if you read through the what they've put out there. How they went from not being sure how to deal with Trump to just being like have this moral mission that they're going to shut down anything that they want. And then what's come out is, you know, that they were having regular meetings with the FBI, the DNI and all that stuff. And so and my understanding is they had that going on. And I guess they had something where the FBI or the DHS, whoever could reach out to them and get stuff suppressed and tweets taken down. I saw something yesterday, like the millions of posts that Facebook has taken down over COVID and stuff that they obviously the woke virtue signaling mob doesn't want out there or agree with it. That's inconvenient for their narrative.
Yeah. And I just saw this before we got on the show today. And it makes absolute sense, but I never made the connection that Twitter implicitly became the Ministry of Truth. That's absolutely what exactly right. I can envision that dude in 1984 sitting at his desk and rewriting headlines and stuff. That's what they did inside Twitter, and that's where all the information gets disseminated. So it literally was the information of truth or the Ministry of Truth. It's all very interesting to see where this all goes. And at the very least, it's shining a light on all this stuff. And it takes away the mainstream media and the politicians and all those people. It takes away their clubhouse, kind of, you know. Well,
I'd be careful limiting it to just Twitter, though, because it's all of them. I don't even think Twitter censored as bad as Facebook did. Right. Yeah. I think it was going on with all of them. Obviously, I think they were having meetings. They were all collaborating and the common nexus of it all was the federal government. Right. Who should have nothing to do with that. So.
No, and governments around the world all are getting in on all this battle against misinformation and all that crap. That's their justification for doing this. And this kind of goes into all the stuff we're going to talk about today, where people are just kind of, you know, I think of it like the show Yellowstone, where it's you got the Duttons and then you got all the cattle that they run and all that. And I think that's the two different societies we live in. You've got the ranch owners and then you've got the rest of the people that are basically just cattle. And we're at the whim of what they do. And we're so domesticated that if we decided to go out in the wild, we'd end up dying. And that's the way people have become these days. So domesticated and so dependent and all that. And that's kind of what we do as preppers is sort of try to fend for ourselves. That way we are ready to go out into the wild if and when something like that happens. But that's the way, I guess people just, that's the way they want it, right? You can do all your stuff, your shady stuff behind the scenes and the mainstream media will do their little narrative and we don't care because we're just going to go to work. We just want our hay and our grass on a daily basis, and that's it. And then you can, you know, bring us to the slaughter later on and just don't tell us about it.
Right.
So at any rate, what brought all of this stuff up, what made me think about all this stuff, and I don't have any clips from it. I do have the link in the description below, but it was Jimmy Dore talking with, I can't remember what her name was.
Whitney Webb.
Whitney Webb
is her name. And I tell you, you know, I know a lot of people probably don't care for Jimmy Dore. There's no politics in this show other than Epstein, like the roots of Epstein's stuff and the roots of the federal government, the intelligence agencies, law enforcement getting involved with the mafia and organized crime and where they went with that. And just it's a good old fashioned the government is doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing kind of stuff. And they go way down the rabbit hole. Whitney Webb's her name. She has a couple of really good books out on it. So,
yeah. And Lisa listened to it and she's usually the one that gets even more heated about liberal bias than I do. And she didn't say one word about it. So it's nothing like that. It's almost listening to like a Clyde Lewis or one of those type of podcasts. It's kind of cool because she goes down, she does the stuff that you expect journalists to do. And I think that's the scary part about all this Ministry of Truth stuff is because most of the mainstream media, you don't hear any of this stuff from the mainstream media. You hear the vanilla stuff, the talking points they receive are what they're supposed to talk about. And nowadays, it seems like the Joe Rogans, the Jimmy Dores, this lady, us, I mean, a lot of different people that kind of just talk about these things that nobody wants to talk about. The mainstream media shuts it down. The things that get you called a conspiracy theorist and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. She's the type of person or reporters like that are the type of people or authors. I'm not sure what she is.
She's a journalist. I mean, she's going out there and she's doing the research and she's finding out where stuff is. The problem is nowadays, that's their go-to thing. You're a conspiracy theorist. We were talking about before the show, you know, I'm a big fan of Graham Hancock's. And if you don't know who Graham Hancock is, he's a journalist that has been trying to shake up the archaeological world because he's like, hey, there's things that you can't explain that they don't explain them because if they were to explain them and what it appear the truth that appears to be there for him, it blows up the archaeological narrative. And so you have all these people who are like, you know, they're part of the archaeological establishment. Like, this is the way we always look at things. And when new facts come in that they don't like it, they're inconvenient and they don't want to disprove them. So, one of the guys that Graham Hancock came out with some stuff on Twitter today and I made a comment and then all these people started the establishment types start coming back and start calling, oh, well, Graham Hancock just tries to appeal to conspiracy theorists. And I'm like, dude, ever since the Twitter files dropped and before, but like, there's no hiding the fact that everything that comes out of that side, the establishment, is not about they use the term conspiracy theorists to try to gaslight you and shut you down. And it's like, no, you're the conspiracy theorist because what don't they want to do? It's just like the stuff with Epstein. We're considered conspiracy theorists because we're like, yeah, Epstein's, you know, he was murdered because of his black book. You know, again, Ghislaine Maxwell is the only person that I know of in my limited knowledge that's ever been convicted of sex trafficking. And there was nobody that she sex trafficked to that was called as a witness or prosecute or attempted prosecution of.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Graham Hancock. He comes up with all these theories and they don't really rebut them. They'll try to cherry pick a little thing here or there, but they don't have much to say. And their response is, you're not an archaeologist. They in his show he did on Netflix, Ancient Civilizations or something. I can't remember what name.
Ancient Apocalypse, I think is what you said.
Yeah. Ancient Apocalypse. He's like, they won't even allow him into sites here in the U.S. Some of the sites he tried to go, you know, film at and like, hey, here's an alternative hypothesis on this, that they wouldn't even let him into the sites. So the archaeology community is stuffing this guy. And it's what we see over and over again. Dr. Yeah. Robert McCullough just got back on the Twitter. The guy who was one of the key people in inventing the mRNA vaccine and came out early on against the mRNA vaccine for COVID. They just got him back on Twitter because he didn't say what was in alignment with the narrative of the establishment. And I think that's what all this you know, what Whitney Webb has and ties into is they don't want to hear this stuff that the original founders of the CIA, the OSS, were tied in with organized crime and actually had an agreement with organized crime.
Yeah. And I'm going to go through a couple of the points they made in that video kind of along the same timeline they did, because it starts off with this, what you were talking about right here, which is the Operation Underworld, which to me seems like the beginning of, I mean, this was with the CIA in basically in cahoots with the mob, right? Something at the port where they had the possible terrorists or whatever, and they wanted the mob to keep an eye on the ports because Whitey
Bulger worried about the in World War II. They were worried about the Germans because, you know, I mean, the Germans had, there was a lot of people from Germany here. There's a lot of American Germans who had sympathy towards Germany. They were worried about and the lifeblood of the war effort was the ports, right? Like, it wasn't like we were flying supplies over like we do now. Yeah. A lot, right? It was all going by ports. So they were really worried about the ports. And because the mob is tied in with the, you know, runs the unions, the dock workers unions and all that, the longshoremen unions, the CIA, the OSS at the time and whoever went and tied in with the mob. So that way they can keep a, you know, find out what was going on in the port system.
Yeah. And it, to me, it's kind of bad that the government was in bed with the mob and all that stuff. But I think this is almost like the tip of the iceberg. This was the nexus or the beginning, right, of all of this stuff that just slowly started getting, you know, way, way more out of hand. You talk about the whole Kennedy thing and whatever your opinions on that are one way or the other. The government was still working with the mob 20 years later. I don't know exactly how they were and all of that stuff, but they were still, you know, buddies in some of the different things. And then it just, as she was talking about in that video too, it gets a whole lot deeper than that as time goes on. And they were talking about child trafficking, and that's where Epstein comes into all this. And the CIA talking about back when with Iran-Contra and how that's basically how this whole black budget thing started. Because they needed to figure out a way to get things done without having to go to Congress every time. So this shadow government, I mean, this, I don't know if it's government or not, but the shadow society.
The deep state. It's the deep state, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And look at, what you know, you take that forward to the Twitter files and what's going on with Twitter. And it's happening today. And it's happening not just with the mob, but they're everywhere they need to get, right? They're in with big tech to censor us and to shut people down and shut anything down that's not the official narrative.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause the mob's not around anymore. So the social media companies, they're the new asset that they can use to get the things done that they want done. So yeah, it's the same damn thing. I thought it was pretty interesting in that video how it's just this huge web of all these people that know people. You've got the Israelis and the Mossad and all these, and which ties into Jeffrey Epstein and all these people that know different people doing all this shady crap behind the scenes. And they basically, from my understanding of that video, I'll get your thoughts on it, but they basically enabled Epstein to get to the level that he got and were... Sure. If not complicit in the trafficking and all that stuff that he was doing, turned a blind eye to it I think she said something about they taught him how to do it, basically.
That's being complicit in it, right? It's the honeypot stuff that they've been running. And they and you know, it, when you look at it, it's, and you see how hard people fight against the government fights against the narrative that when people start going, hey, what about this? And what about that? And they start fighting against it and they all get on the same page real quick. And they all ride the same, you know, kind of ride that same wave. It's how many of them are tied in and they've been compromised by the federal government and by these networks, you know, and again, I'm not a Q person. And when Q, I don't know if the people on 4chan, the guys that were coming up with it actually knew what they were getting into, but it's true that, you know, at least in my opinion, it's true that there's these networks of pedophiles that are very rich and powerful people running around, you know, pushing kids around and doing all kinds of stuff. I mean, Whitney Webb talks a lot. If you, I would recommend, it's a 45, it's a pretty long video, but I would recommend everybody go watch this. It's down in the link of the show. Watch this Jimmy Dore video when you get a chance. It is really, really good in how far she extrapolated. I went to buy her books, but they're not an audio book yet. And I just don't have the time to sit down and read a book, but when they come out on audio, definitely. And it was even Jimmy Dore, because Jimmy Dore is a very conspiracy minded person. You know, he was injured by the vaccine. He doesn't believe what the government tells him. And he was like, are you kidding me? Like they really did this.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times there's a bunch of stuff I'd never heard of before. And, you know, we talk conspiracies all the time.
Yeah. And that's what kind of got me, because it's a lot of the stuff that we kind of, it's not surprising to us. It's like, yeah, I kind of figured that, but it is at the same time, because you see how she connects all these dots of all these people that are interconnected. Bill Gates knew Jeffrey Epstein way before the mainstream, like she says in that video, way before the mainstream media narrative. They tell you when they met. It was way before that they probably met. Bill Clinton and Jeffrey Epstein are like bros. I mean, we always wondered about the connection between those two, but they were almost like tied at the hip back in the day, yeah, because of the things that were going on. So, and we think about the Clinton Foundation, and
it was somebody affiliated with Epstein that, according to what Whitney Webb had, that started the Clinton, that got the Clinton Foundation going, that set it all up.
Yeah.
Remember, you know, all the pay for play. Hey, you give the Clinton Foundation money, we'll do a speech, give us a bunch of money, and then you get some, you know, favors from the U.S. government.
Yeah,
Trump's mentor, I can't remember his name, but like one of his big mentors was part of that whole setup.
Yeah, Trump's like, more involved than people like to admit either, too.
Dude, Trump had 7 flights on the Lolita Express. He tries to say, I had one, and I didn't do anything with Epstein. You don't hang out in New York City back in the 70s and 80s when Epstein was, or, you know, in the 80s, especially when he was rocking it, and 90s. And not know what Epstein's up to. You're a billionaire. You know everything what's going on. So, you know, it's.
Yeah, it's the Clinton Foundation, because we were so up in arms about Hillary Clinton and how evil she is and all that. That's where everybody tended to gravitate towards. She's using this for that. She's using the foundation for this and that. But it really, you know, when you look at the full picture, really wasn't. It was Bill Clinton. And, you know, that whole cabal, that whole money, whatever it was, all of that stuff going on, that was basically how that all started. And then, of course, you know, because she's a crooked, rotten, evil person, she's going to use it to her benefit as well and not say anything about all this other stuff going on. And there, she talked about the Mossad in there, and Epstein, Ghislaine Maxwell's father, who was probably killed by the Mossad because of his connections and all that stuff. And it's just, that's why Epstein, quote unquote, killed himself. I guarantee you.
Well, and she takes it back through Herbert Hoover being involved in this stuff. Like, I mean, the spider web that she draws, and she uses his, you know, hey, like this person mentioned this in this letter, this person here and that. It's a fascinating 45 minutes. If you're into seeing where the dirty dealings and how a lot of this stuff got started and where it's going from the government, it's a really good 45 minute video to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just kind of goes to show you, man. I mean, there's so much, like I was saying in the beginning, we're all just a bunch of cattle. And as long as we get our grain and our food and all that stuff, we're perfectly fine. But it just goes to show you how much is going on behind the scenes of all this stuff, and how this big money dealing, wheeling and dealing, and all of this stuff that just goes on is something. I mean, it's a different reality than the one we live in. And I think politicians probably live in both, or try to keep their foot in both realities. And that's why, you know, they're kind of that middleman. But I think it's why things like what she's saying are important, things like what we talk about are important, is just to get that word out and get people to start thinking about this crap. Because if they don't, if the Ministry of Truth, like Twitter, and like you were talking about with these people that just have this hive mind, are just so willing to go with what the accepted narrative is, and the mainstream media, that's all they push is the accepted narrative, this the soft truth or whatever you want to call it. I think the more people that kind of hear this stuff and start to care about this stuff, maybe we can force these idiots in Washington, force them out, basically put people in that will actually kind of investigate and do this stuff. I know that's a pipe dream.
Well, because part of the problem is they're all involved in this stuff. I mean, how do you force them out?
They're making money
together. They're all involved in it. I mean, you look at, I mean, you Bill Barr, right? Oh, you know, he's going to try to maybe run for, you know, he's talked about like maybe running kind of stuff. Bill Barr's father was one of the guys that gave Epstein his start at the Dalton Academy.
Yeah.
Right. And you start drawing it out. They're all tied in. They're all stuck. So, you know, how do you change it? You know, how many accusations have come out against Biden for shit he's done as far as, you know, with underage girls and being a freak. Right. It's all of them. I mean, you think about it. If you go back to what was the name of the guy that he was married to, Uma, that when it was his laptop that ended up blowing open all the Hillary Clinton stuff because he had the dick pics on it.
Yeah.
Right.
He had a dick name too. I can't remember. Eric something.
Yeah. Yeah. So that guy gets busted like doing shady shit with women.
Wiener. Anthony Wiener.
Anthony Wiener. So they keep him around. Right. When they should have probably like, why are you keeping that dude around? Like he's a scumbag. But why do they keep him around? Well, because Bill Clinton's a scumbag. And, you know, the insider talk around D.C. all the time was that Hillary Clinton's a lesbian. Well, then it kind of fits this whole narrative with Epstein, you know, running young girls like, oh, OK, well, Bill Clinton, go get his rocks off, do whatever he wants. Hillary can do whatever she wants. Eric Wiener, when he gets busted, they don't 86 that guy. If they're morally right, they're like, get out of here. But they didn't. They kept him around. And then he gets busted a second time. And that's what blew open the whole Hillary Clinton email stuff and all that, because they found like, wait, why do you have all these emails from this this email address going, you know, as her Secretary of State? That's not her email. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just one thing after another with these people. And I think they're all part of it.
Yeah. And I think it's unfortunate, and maybe it's on purpose by them. This whole Q thing, I don't buy all the Q shit either. I don't even know enough about it because I don't really even get into it. But they take this trafficking thing and they blow it up into some sort of Q thing. And then it almost deflects from the main problem that's going on. So it's almost like if you talk about this, and this is how they do it. This is their modus of operandi or whatever. This is how they do things to get people to shut up about stuff. You start talking about any of this pedophilia and stuff going on at the high levels and by rich guys and all that, all of a sudden you're some kind of Q person. They slam you in that corner and call you this or call you that. That's how the CIA has done it for years. If they want somebody to shut up or they want somebody to, you know, kind of work with them or whatever, they'll get some ridiculous something that will tarnish their image, something that will just rip them apart, tear them down, unless they do, unless you either shut up or you work alongside with us. And it's kind of the same thing. And that's the way what you see the mainstream media doing. That's what you see with all this stuff. When you talk about BLM or, you know, the grooming and all that stuff, same thing. You get pushed in this corner of some kind of crazy.
Well, and you think about it, it's starting to come out. One of the things with the Twitter files was Yoel Roth, who was their head of their safety and security division, right, to make sure there was no craziness put on the on Twitter, right? Like they weren't going after child porn people, really. They were letting that stuff go, and now it's coming out. They have old emails where he's like, "Well, what's wrong with the guy?" Kind of, you know, or tweets or whatever it is, where he's kind of supporting underage sex stuff. So was that guy compromised? You know, where does it go? Right. And so, I mean, that's what you're running up against with all this stuff. They're all in bed together. It's why we all get called conspiracy theorists, because they're all, no, they're conspiracy theorists when they're the ones sitting around supporting that stuff. Like, why did Twitter allow child porn to be on Twitter for a long time? Now, I imagine I never saw it, but I imagine you'd have to go look for it. But there's enough people to say, yeah, it's been on there. It's been really bad for a long time. Why was that on there? Like, why didn't they? And they had the tools. And one of the things that came out in the Twitter files was the tools that they had developed to combat child porn. They really started using when they went after Trump.
Yeah, not surprising.
So you're going to go after Trump, but you're not going to go after like the, you know, the people putting up child porn and sex trafficking people on there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's insane because if people actually did start pulling the string, how unraveled this whole society and system would come, because these rich and these elites, these people that feel like they can do whatever the hell they want, and they can. I mean, they do. They've been doing it forever. You know, there's just so much behind the scenes that goes on. But if you are one of these people that asks, like you just said, well, you know, why was it? Was he part of it? You just asked that. All of a sudden you get labeled saying that you're saying that Joe Roth is a pedophile or something. That's not what you said at all. But that's not the narrative that gets thrown out.
And
there.
And what would happen is you'd get, if you said it on social media, you asked the question, you'd get suppressed or you risk having your account taken down.
Yeah.
And they relied on that. Like the woke, you know, the woke virtue signaling crowd relied on that. Like they knew you couldn't sit like that. You could only push a debate from your side so much. If you were not a woke virtue signaling person, you could only push it so far, because at a certain point you're getting your account suspended. Right. So they can get up there and run their mouth, because I mean, at the same time they're banning Trump, they're not getting rid of the Ayatollah, who talked about a limit, like for the erasure or elimination of Israel from the face of the earth.
Yeah.
They left him on there. So it was really like, if you weren't in their camp, they didn't have to worry, because they always had their bodyguard sitting with them that can just suspend your account or shut you down.
Yeah.
So they always had this, like, you know, you're always trying to talk about it with, you know, to go at them or have these debates, arguments, whatever you want to call it, literally with both hands tied behind your back. And now it's hilarious, because they keep trying to say, use the same thing. Nowadays I'm over on Twitter, like I said earlier, a bunch. And it's hilarious to watch them try to go back to calling people conspiracy theorists, to try to say, like, you know, like the big thing about the Twitter files and about, you know, the Trump files and all that that came out. They're like, well, we knew that was going on forever. I'm like, well, then if you knew it, and because they're saying it's not a big deal, then why did you say it wasn't a big deal before? Why didn't you say that? It's not a big deal. You said, no, it's not happening. You're a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Now it's like,
they have whatever. No argument for this shit. It's just like the stuff that'll probably get this video hammered on YouTube. It's why we're over on Rumble right now. But yeah. If you called somebody a groomer, right? Oh, no, yeah. You can't say that, like, you know, a transsexual or drag queen that's out there shaking boobs in front of a little kid's a groomer. What is it?
Yeah.
A child abuser? I don't know. What do you want to call that?
Yeah.
But you can't say that, right? Well, they all come. But now you can a little bit with Twitter. It's really interesting watching that space open up, and they have no answers for any of the stuff, because it's the same old again, and they're getting shut down because they don't have there's no substance to their arguments, and they don't have it.
Yeah. Well, and you listened to Biden the other day, and with this Respect for Marriage Act, and I haven't dug into that enough to say one way or the other. I know there's a lot of people that are talking about religious liberties, and these groups are going to be able to go after, or it's possible they could. But when he was up on stage and he was talking, he basically lumped everything in, like you were just talking about. You're anti-Semite, you're racist, you're this, you're that. If you're talking about these, you're homophobic, if you're talking about this stuff and doctors being able to help children and all of that, then you are all of the above. So basically he is labeled, you know, he just made it, you know, this group thing of you're all of the above if you don't agree with our certain narrative. And that's been their game plan forever. Just, you know, smear, label, you know, just make people feel less than and all that stuff. But yeah, you can't even talk about this shit and have a conversation.
You have adults, young adults, some older adults that have done the sexual transition that are now going back in. There was one, I watched one the other day. She came out and she was like she had her breast, whatever they do, double mastectomy, had her breast chopped off. And she's like, it was because, and she was young. She was, I think she did when she was like 16. And she's like, as soon as I said, I think I'm transgender, she's like, the whole side started cheering. Oh, you got to go do all this stuff. And she's like, I had nobody trying to talk me out. Like I had no, you know, I had a mental problem. She's like, I had a problem.
Yeah.
And it's like, they see it as some like great thing and some great win. And so now they're having these people come back. And so now the left's attacking them, just like the left's attacking Matt Taibbi and Barry Weiss. Barry Weiss is in a relationship with another chick. I think she might be married to the chick. And now she's being called a conservative you know, like a right-leaning conservative journalist or writer or something like that. No, she's not. She's about as left as they come, but they're labeling her as, oh, you're a right winger. Right. Because again, that's what they do, is they do labels.
That's what they're doing with all these people. Is if anybody doesn't go along with the accepted narrative, then you are that right wing extremist type thing. Elon Musk, the same way. All these reporters, the same way. Even Jimmy Dore, you know, I'm sure he's been called that as well, because if you question that narrative, you're not a good soldier. And you need to be a good soldier to be on our team. And that's the way it is. I forgot what I was gonna say something there. Oh, they're even going after Musk. I just saw this morning, so I don't know much about it, but talking about if he lied on his citizenship papers, because if he lied, that means he's not a citizen. So, I mean, it's typical.
Wow. Kind of weird. Tactics. You think that would have been, I wonder if any of those were the people that were out there saying that when Trump was going after Obama about his birth certificate and all that, if any of those people were out there defending that. Again, this is the hypocrisy of these people. They don't have values. And you know, if you're going to call one side out, you got to be willing to call the other side out, or you're a fucking hypocrite.
Yeah.
You got to be able to look at yourself. You got to be able to look at your side. And they are so bought into their narrative that it's just about assaulting and taking down the other side, that they don't have, again, they don't have substance to their arguments. What is their substance now to, you know, the Twitter files that are coming out? They're literally saying, well, it's nothing. That's their whole, well, it's nothing. It's really not anything really. That's not what is that? Like if you tried to get up in front of I don't know about school these days, but if you tried to go answer a question in school back in the day, what's the answer to this? Because that's not an answer.
Yeah.
They have nothing.
It's about destroying credibility. The only thing you ever see about the Twitter files from the mainstream media or people on the left is about Elon Musk credibility, and they're doing everything they can to destroy it. So if there's any immigrant in this country that might deserve or helps the economy, you'd think it would be Elon Musk, right? You know, with all the stuff that he adds to this economy, but that doesn't matter now because he's not playing on the team. I've heard some things about his Neuralink thing where PETA wants to investigate him for the treatment of animals. I don't know what went on with all that stuff. I know that Dr. Fauci and his puppies and all that was pretty bad, and that was kind of, you know, squashed. But when it comes to Elon Musk trying to do something, it's about destroying credibility. It's about making him look like
Elon Musk is doing more. It's hilarious because they're all about progress, right? He's doing more than our government. Dude, that guy is launching rockets into space, dropping off satellites, flying around, going for little laps here and there. And then he brings a rocket and lands it back down on the earth, on his landing pad that he has out in the ocean. Takes the rocket, they go through, retrofit it, and they launch it up the next day. Yet the United States government is tied into NASA, and NASA takes the whole rocket up into the space. They disconnect it. It flies around, drops in the ocean, wherever the fuck it goes. And then every time they got to rebuild it, basically giving money to the military industrial complex. But you don't hear anything about Elon Musk. When Biden had all the electric car manufacturers in for, you know, I don't know what they do, get in and eat lunch and talk electric cars in D.C., he didn't invite Elon Musk. Right? Like, And hey, if Elon Musk gets busted doing some stuff and he's dirty, fine, hammer that dude. I don't care. But at the same time, it's like they're fanboy because he came out and started showing what they were real. They are upset because he is showing the truth, the reality of what they did. And now they want to go after him. Oh, you can't do that. He told the truth. He showed your emails. He showed your internal communications and you're upset. I mean, think about it. Julian Assange, Edward Snowden, right? What are they in trouble for? Exposing the government's hypocrisy and bullshit. And now you got Julian Assange wasting away in prison, and Edward Snowden literally can't leave Russia because the U.S. canceled. I mean, maybe he can, and maybe he's become a Russian citizen. I don't know. But Russia, you know, everybody's like, oh, you fled to Russia. They canceled his passport when he was trying to get down to South America. He had no choice. He couldn't leave.
Yeah.
They stranded him there. You can't. Right. So this is what our government does. Our government literally talked about assassinating Julian Assange because he exposed their fucking lies.
Yeah. Yeah. And it goes into everything we've been talking about with how this whole shadow machine does things and works. And we get a little bit of information here, a little bit of information there. If you're just watching the mainstream media, you're not getting jack shit. You're getting exactly what they're told to tell you. You're getting that super redacted version of what exactly happened with all of this stuff. And it just, if you're not part of the team, if you're not part of the big machine, the military industrial complex, the three letter alphabet agencies, all that different stuff. If you're not part of that machine and you're a threat to that machine, that's when you're going to get outed like that. Just like you were talking about with Snowden
go back to why was Kennedy killed? And it's interesting because everybody goes, well, the mob killed him because of the election. Well, when you get into the Whitney Webb stuff and she talks about it, she says she was like the, when it came to assassinations, the intel agencies relied on the mob because the mob was good, had people that were like, that's what they did for a living. They assassinated people.
Yeah.
So is it the government that killed, that actually pulled the trigger on Kennedy? Maybe not. But is it the government that coordinated it to get it to happen with the mob? I think that's a probable story. Again, why haven't they released the files from the Kennedy assassination?
Yeah.
Because there's something that makes the government look bad. If there was nothing that made the government look bad, they'd release the files.
Yeah.
Right? There's something in there that makes them look bad. So they're not going to release the freaking files. It's just like the Pfizer stuff. Right? Oh, well, we're going to seal all the testing and all of our research files for 66 years. Why? Because there's stuff you don't want the people to see. That's the only reasonable explanation, especially if you go back to the Kennedy files. What are we going to be up? So let's say Russia or Cuba is involved. Are we going to be upset this many years? Oh, yeah. Like, dude, we're so far removed from that. It's a nothing burger, like they want to say. But no one wants to push that stuff. They don't want to release it because I guarantee you, J. Edgar Hoover is probably involved in that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and that's the hard part about all this stuff, because kind of like this story I had about the operation, whatever it was called, Operation Underworld. You get like this article right here is the whitewashed version of that. So with Kennedy, you're getting from all these different, you know, documentary, maybe the History Channel or whoever, you're getting this is why it happened this way. This is why it's, you know, this conspiracy theory is not true. But nobody ever, you know, it's that accepted narrative. It's the easy to swallow pill, I suppose, for people just to kind of accept that their government is great, that they wouldn't do anything wrong, they wouldn't do anything bad, and we just know it's not all true. I don't really know what happened to with the whole Kennedy thing, but that's the problem. That's part of the problem. We could, but for some reason they don't want us to, and why is that?
Well, it's not like when John Wilkes Booth shot Abraham Lincoln, they tried to cover it up. So why are we covering this one up?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, it doesn't fit their narrative. And our, you know, it's interesting. I talked with a good buddy yesterday, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of the same story as me. It's like, you know, we're both guys that, you know, bought into the whole military thing. We bought into the whole, you know, hey, our government, you know, support our government. You know, hardcore. Yeah, I was a hardcore Republican, dude. I had a picture of Ronald Reagan on my binder in high school, bro. Like, I was a hardcore conservative Republican.
That'll get you Epstein these days in California.
What's that?
That'll get you Epstein these days in California.
But not at the time, man. I mean, California's always been liberal, but don't forget, Reagan came out of California.
Yeah.
Right? It was, I mean, California started jumping the shark around 93, man. That's when it just became insurmountable. But they, and I look at it now, and it's like we were talking. He watched this video, and it showed an ambush in Ukraine, and all the guys involved in the ambush had suppressors, silencers on their rifles, right? And one and the great thing about that is when you're getting ambushed, you're trying to look for where's the sound of the gunfire coming? Like, hey, how far away is that? You know, kind of thing. How far can we tell how far that away is? And you're looking for the visual of the muzzle flashes. So that way, you know where to direct your counter assault or whatever you have going on, whatever you're going to do. Suppressors take all that out of the equation because you don't know, you can't really hear it. You don't know how far away it is, and it suppresses the muzzle flash. So it makes it really hard to respond to that ambush. And we were going back and forth, and I said, you know, one, because he was like, it's a shame that we weren't doing that before. And I'm like, two things. The government doesn't want to normalize suppressors, because if you had a bunch of people in the military say, yeah, you know, suppressors are fine, and it became a thing, then people be like, why can't we all have suppressors? So when I go to the shooting range, I don't have to worry about my ears getting blasted out.
Yeah.
Right. And it's the military establishment that doesn't want them either, because the leaders never got, you know, were never part of that. So that they push it down. It's one thing after another where this government, where I've just lost complete faith in our government. And I'm like, and that was my final response to him was, you know, at the end of the day, I just don't believe anything my government tells me about the reason why they do anything anymore.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and dude, again, I had a picture of fucking Ronald Reagan on my binder back in the day. I think he's a scumbag now, but you know, still.
Well, it's like the analogy I've made a bunch of times is you have that kid that's a meth head or whatever, you pick your drug, and the kid keeps continuing to lie to you and lie to you. How many chances do you give him before you kind of go that tough love route and say, you know what, enough of this shit. I don't believe a word coming out of your mouth. And that's where we are at this point. And unfortunately, that's where I am at this point. I think a lot of people listening to the show are at this point. And unfortunately, there are some things that they're doing, you know, good, you know, for the actual country. Very few these days. But because they lie so damn much, you just don't know what to believe and what not to believe in. What's nefarious and what's not. So, and the fact that they're all a bunch of idiots and yahoos up there just makes things worse. They spend $80,000 on a microwave or a TV or something like that. They could give a crap as long as it feeds the military industrial complex. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, it's insane. Kind of on that, and I want to move on. I saw this movie the other day, and I wanted to see if you've ever seen it. Have you ever watched The Pentagon Wars? It's an old movie. It's like 25 years old.
Ooh, I don't know.
It's got Kelsey Grammer and Carrie Ells from, what was that, Princess Bride? But anyway, it was an interesting movie, I thought, because it's a true story based on this guy that worked in the Pentagon from like late 80s, early 90s. And they were developing this transport carrier. And because it had to go through all these generals that didn't know what the hell they're talking about and all these
different channels. Oh, it's the Bradley fighting vehicle.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So if you want to read a really good book that includes some of the stuff on that. So, you know, John Boyd, the guy who basically invented the OODA loop, right? Like he was part of that. And so John Boyd had this group of guys that these officers that didn't give a crap about their careers in the Pentagon, I can't remember what they called them. They had a name for them, like the disruptors or something. And they were disrupting everything. And it was one of his, like one of the people he mentored. John Boyd ended up retiring as like a colonel or lieutenant, I think a colonel finally. But like he got stuffed his whole career because he literally went in and like back when Vietnam was going on and just after Vietnam, he was because Boyd had became like he was an aircraft designer as part of his gig. He was a pilot who flew in Korea and then he became an aircraft designer. He got all into like aerodynamics and all this stuff. And he came up with these computer programs and these ways of looking at aircraft that showed every one of our planes that were in the design phase back in the 70s were going to be beat by the Russians. Every plane was going to lose to the Russians because what the planes weren't about making the best plane possible. The planes were about seeing how much stuff they could load onto it to benefit the military industrial complex. Like one of the planes they were building, they wanted to have an internal ladder that would come out of the plane that the crews could use to climb up and down the side of the plane. And he's like, it added, you know, I don't know how many tens of thousands of dollars to the cost of the plane. And he goes, and it adds weight that makes it less functional. He's like, why don't we have a ladder on the ground that we just roll up to it and we walk up? But they fought him on that stuff. And the Bradley fighting vehicle was one of those things. So much so that when they designed the Bradley fighting vehicle and they were trying to see, one of their concerns was, okay, if the Bradley fighting vehicle takes a round, does it turn into like, what happens to all the diesel fuel or the, whatever the fuel is that they're using to fill it. I think it's diesel.
And the extra ammunition they had stored inside. Yeah.
Yeah. What happens to all that stuff? So they go out to test it to see what would happen. Cause you know, obviously you got, you know, a dozen military guys in the back, a squad of infantry sitting in it, and it takes a round and the diesel containers kick off, the fuel containers kick off, and it burns everybody up. You don't want that. So when they go out and they test it, come to find out the company making it was filling the tanks full of water.
Yeah.
And not putting diesel fuel in it.
Yeah.
Like they were every time they turned around that project. If you want to read a really good book that goes deep into the military industrial complex and the fuckery they pull with trying to get their little pet programs through, go read. It's called Boyd. It's by a guy named Robert Karam. It's a long read. It's like 600 pages long, but it goes through Boyd's whole career. And the last half of the book is him fighting the military industrial complex who are just trying to push bullshit equipment and money out, you know, and make profits off the government. Really yeah. Good book.
That was basically the movie in a nutshell, because it does that program went on for that Bradley vehicle, like 16 years, I believe, and $17-18 million is what it cost to get the piece of junk that they finally finished with. And then they put in a little bit more money to get it, you know, actual functional, but it shows the military industrial complex aspect of it. The people that are these generals that are paid off, or whoever's in charge of all this stuff that are paid off to make this decision or that decision. The fighting men and women weren't a priority at all for these people.
Never.
It was getting this thing into production. It was making money. That was the important part about all this stuff. And it just shows you all of that, again, that behind the scenes stuff that goes on that we don't really even pay. We can't pay two cents.
You know, we're coming out with a new stealth bomber. And I don't know, maybe it's great. I have no idea. But what I do know is it costs over $2 billion for a plane.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Like with some of the stuff and yeah, it's 100%. It's, you know, it was after I got out of the military back when we used to wear the, you know, the old woodland camo. And then they went to the ACUs before changing over to the multicam that they use now. When they went to the ACUs, it was literally some general that got out and got a job afterwards. And the whole military has to change. Right? It's about them spending money and about them making money. It's like, you know, when you watch Fox News, they always have one of their generals that they have on all the time. The guy is the head of like AMC General or something. He's the head of the company that makes the Humvees, right? These talking heads that they have are all on boards of companies. Lloyd Austin was the head of Raytheon, ran the board for Raytheon.
Yeah.
Weird. Now that we got this war going with Ukraine and Raytheon's making a bunch of money.
Yeah. It's all this we've been talking about the whole show. It's all this behind the scenes stuff, and everything is fair games. Now, when it comes to the three letter alphabet agencies and all of that stuff, they're a little bit more nefarious and all that than say like Lloyd Austin or whatever. These people that are just trying to climb the company ladder, and that is what matters most. Not the security and safety of the country, not the safety of the military personnel, but their job aspirations. And even at the end of this movie, they talked about how all these generals and all these people that were involved in all this BS ended up getting promoted. And the guy that called all this stuff out and forced them to have that test that showed that thing blowing up, he was forced to resign. So that's the system, right? If you speak out against it, and same thing we've been talking about the whole show, you speak out against it, you're going to get punished. And that's exactly the way all of this stuff works.
So, well, you know, the Department of Defense just got audited again, right? And after 16, and this is from The Hill, it says the Defense Department has failed its fifth ever audit, unable to account for more than half of its assets. But the effort is being viewed as a teachable moment, according to its chief financial officer. After 1,600 auditors combed through DOD's $3.5 trillion in assets and $3.7 trillion in liabilities, so that's $7.2 trillion worth of stuff, officials found that the department couldn't account for about 61% of its assets. And it's a teachable moment in spite of the fact that they've, what did you do on the four other times they failed the audit? They've never passed a successful audit. Where's all that money going? Right.
They don't know.
Well, what's happening with that? Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, you want to know how we're funding bullshit? Cause they're not accountable. No one's going to hold them accountable. And if you're some sort of politician that runs off and says, we need to hold the government, the DOD accountable, then everybody labels you, you know, oh, you're a commie sympathizer. You hate America, military, hoorah. Like, we need to go fight wars.
Yeah.
You know,
Yep.
Nothing changes, man.
Their modus of operandi. Yeah. Just label, demean, smash, discredit, whatever it takes. Yeah. Regardless, especially if you're telling the truth. Yeah. So at any rate, kind of on that same thing, I wanted to get your thoughts on this because this just came out yesterday. And since we're on the Epstein stuff, I wanted to get your thoughts on this Brinkman dude in jail now. What is your over-under until he gets Epsteined? You think he's going to survive jail?
Well, you think about that guy, right? Like, oh, wrong. You got your Pentagon Wars image up. So you think about there that dude. A few hours before he's supposed to get on video and testify in front of Congress, the Department of Justice, the prosecutors went and arrested him. And then he couldn't testify.
Yeah.
If you're a prosecutor, you let that dude testify and you arrest him afterwards. Why did the federal government go in there and arrest that dude before he ran his mouth to Congress? Weird. So yeah. My thought is, I wonder if they have cameras outside of his cells. I bet his cameras stop working at some point.
Yeah, I'll give it a week or so until something happens to him, because there's so much. It's strange to me how little they give a shit or they talk about it. And the mainstream media, too, about something that should be a huge freaking deal. How little they talk about it. Even John Pierre or whatever her name is, the press secretary, talking about the Hatch Act and this and that. Just shut it down. Not talk about it. None of that crap. It's a huge deal. Not because, like Bernie Madoff and all that stuff, but Bernie Madoff didn't make millions of dollars in contributions to the government, mainly the Democrat Party. This guy did. That's, I think, why it's such a big deal. And why
I think he laundered it. We gave all that money to Ukraine. We know Ukraine sent a lot of it back into FTX. So my takeaway, and call me a conspiracy theorist, because that's, you're just going to prove me fucking right if you call me a conspiracy theorist these days.
Seems like it
is that the Democratic Party or the establishment funneled a bunch of money that they can't account for to Ukraine. Ukraine, as part of the deal, took a bunch of that money and funneled it in FTX, which then distributed it to politicians. Because remember, these are just the donations that they can track. They have all those other little donations that they can send in that don't get tracked anymore. Right? That's the game they play. Oh, yeah. Well, we're open and transparent with donations. Unless you give to one of those super PACs, different places like that.
Yeah.
You can do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
So I think it's all part of it. Like, why did they take so long to arrest that dude? They knew it was happening. And then you arrest him again right before he goes before Congress to testify.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, and on top of that, all the money that he basically took from people, United States citizens, wherever. I mean, I'm sure it was a kind of a global thing, but money that he took from them and then donated it to these super PACs and stuff. So first you steal all the money and then you give it to the politicians or you give it to the Ukraine to give, whole machine worked. I don't know, but it's shady as hell.
If you hear of that guy getting killed like that, oh yeah, he killed himself or he got stabbed by, some guy who didn't like Americans in Bahamian. Cause my understanding is he's going to be there till at least February now in Bahamian jail.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So you hear that this guy gets stabbed, is it going to shock you that this guy all of a sudden gets killed?
No, I don't think
the establishment's going to go, oh, wow, weird. He got killed in jail.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He hung himself.
And I'm dead serious. I would put an 80%, 80% chance that he doesn't survive extradition to the United States whenever that happens. He won't make it back onto U.S. soil. Just because, like we've been talking about the whole show, all these people that are possibly involved in all this shit going on, no way that stuff is coming to light.
They don't want him, because see, what they're going to do now is they're going to use FTX as a reason to, push the digital dollar. Oh, no, this is secure. You can't go with that crypto stuff. You need the digital dollar. They don't want him coming out and saying how terrible it is. Give us more reason not to trust our government when they're pushing a digital dollar that they can control like crazy.
Yeah.
Right. This feeds their narrative for that. Like literally him laundering money to give them illegal donations, and they could say, look at how criminals and all these people use crypto, fuels the narrative for them to crack down on crypto and go with their own crypto, the digital dollar.
Yeah.
And they made money at it while it was happening.
Yeah. I think this is the catalyst for a whole shitstorm of regulations and all that stuff to come. And we'll just, it's the perfect excuse. It may have, the guy's such an idiot. It's hard to tell that. I mean, he's such a dirt bag, but it may be something that was set up, a long time ago, as this is how we're going to disrupt the crypto market. And this is how we're going to give ourselves the ability to put regulations on it. And then we're going to come out with our digital coin and then, all of that stuff. So we'll see how it plays out, but it's all freaking interesting. One last thing I got today before we get out of here, and we've talked about this Ray Epps things a couple times, but I want your question, and I know people have probably seen, or I wanted your answer to this question. I know people have probably seen this video a million times. I'll play a little bit of it here, but it's basically Ray Epps out in the crowd talking about let's go do this stuff. Let me play this real quick, and I'll get to my question.
Maybe. Into the Capitol! Into the Capitol!
What?
No! Peacefully! Fed! Tomorrow?
Okay, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but you get the point. People there knew that he was a Fed. And he was working with the FBI. So my question, like I put in this tweet, why is that legal? Why is it legal for them to, it's almost, inciting a riot themselves by using this dude to do that stuff, to say that those things like that.
Well, I don't know. Have they come out with anything? Look, and I'm not saying that he wasn't working with the FBI, but have they come out with anything that proves that he was, other than that everybody believes it, right?
No, and that's my caveat to this. Yeah.
Yeah. So, because they control the rule book, right? They have the powers of arrest. They control who they want. I mean, it gets back to going right back to the Epstein thing again. Why hasn't anybody that's been in that little black book been brought forward and tried, or at least looked at and, hey, we're investigating all these people that are in his black book, because it's their people. They're not going to go after Ray Epps. They would have. Why wasn't Ray Epps found and drugged before the January 6th committee?
That never talked to that dude. That to me is the most damning thing about all of this. The fact that he's out scot-free living on some ranch in Wyoming or wherever the hell he is, that is like the most damning thing, because all these other guys in solitary confinement in their little cells and all that stuff, and he's out scot-free? Come on. But it is interesting to me. The same thing with the Gretchen Whitmer stuff. They do the same thing. That little group of whack jobs was ready to disband. Until the FBI stepped in and kind of juiced them into it. No, man, you guys could still do this. You could still do this. So it seems to me like they're like goading people into things. Almost, I know it's not entrapment the way it's the legal term or anything, but it's almost like that. Like they're pushing them in a certain direction. No,
they're setting up the narrative. It's a false flag. The government sets up the narrative for an event to happen. And then it happens, I imagine Ray Epps is probably Liz Cheney's fluffer now or something, again, that gets back to the problem of all this. It gets back to why everybody needs to prepare, because our government's off the fucking rails.
Yeah.
Doing whatever it wants, not having any accountability. Everybody's like, what about Ray Epps? They never call that guy. Why didn't they call that guy? The guy they have on video saying, let's go to the Capitol and go into the Capitol. Never got called before Congress.
Yeah.
Why isn't that happening? Why hasn't that guy been on any mainstream news source? Why hasn't someone posted up outside that dude's house? You want to talk about somebody should hope that the cameras are on that dude.
Yeah.
That guy might end up Arkansas-sided here pretty soon.
Yeah. It's all insane. Either it's some sort of coordinated effort to, you know, for to make money, or it's complete ineptitude. But there's so much shady bullshit going on behind the scenes at all levels of government that it's just, whether it's like the military industrial complex, who could give two craps about how much money they spend because of the budget, they're not accountable for anything. They don't have to worry about their budget. So they can spend, you know, $18 million on that Bradley vehicle, which these days you're probably, you know, it's probably double that. You're probably looking at $30 million they use to just screw around for 15 years of taxpayer money. So, yeah, it's interesting, and there's not really a whole lot.
Just so you know, those Bradleys cost $4.35 million a piece.
$4.35 million for a vehicle. That's insane.
It's an armored vehicle with it has a chain gun on it and any tank missiles and all that. But yeah, $4.35 million.
Well, and it started out as a personnel carrier, right? And then they started adding
That's the whole thing. So they had the M113 personnel carrier before that really didn't have, it was small. It wouldn't, you know, a 50 cal could shred it. The Bradley fighting vehicle is actually, it's pretty substantial, and it brings a pretty good gun to the battle. It brings anti-tank missiles. You know, I don't know what kind they have on it. It used to have the TOWS. I assume it's some sort of version of that now. But it has more room for the guys inside, and you know, but it's not the heaviest armored vehicle in the world. I think that a lot of what they switched to was the MRAPs from over in Iraq and stuff. But yeah, no, it's all that stuff's expensive, man. Pays the military industrial complex.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get things started like Afghanistan and Ukraine and all that stuff, and just keep that money machine rolling. Yep. Meanwhile, us sheep and us goats and us cattle out here, just go buy our daily jobs, pay our taxes, and, you know, feed the machine. That's all we need to do. So right. At any rate, I think we're done with that today. Next week, we do have quite a bit of prepping stuff. Speaking of exorbitantly expensive stuff, I found this article on this doomsday community that I wanted to go over a little bit, and a few other prepping topics as well. But with that, do you have anything else to add today before we get out of here?
No, man. I think we ran my mouth long enough.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, Vision's in the chat too. And one, thank you everyone in the chat for joining in today. We are going to have Vision on our channel here in the next few weeks. I haven't reached out to him yet to talk about that. But in the next few weeks, maybe after Christmas, after New Year's, all that, we'll have him on. But that'll be a fun show. If you guys have any topics you'd like us to discuss, send me an email or a comment or something like that. But yeah, with that, check out... Hey, everybody on Rumble, I forgot to mention this earlier too before we get out of here. I said a couple weeks ago, there isn't a way to get notified on Rumble. There is actually a notification icon on the mobile app. You can't do it on your desktop version, but on the mobile app, if you go to The Survival Preppers, our channel there, you'll see the subscribe link, and you'll also see a bell icon right there that you can get notified, and you can change that to daily, weekly, immediately. So whenever we go live over there, you turn that on to immediately, you'll get notified that we're going live over there. So I haven't tried that out yet. I don't know how it works, but better than nothing, which is what I thought they had. But with that, everyone, take care and prepare. We'll talk to you all on Sunday.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you for listening to another episode of The Survival Preppers. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to join us on YouTube for our weekly live shows. For more information or to connect with Duff and Dale, visit thesurvivalpreppers.com or thebugoutlocation.com for members-only content and prepping courses. See everyone next time.